The other day, my sister had a king-size mattress that she wanted to move into her house, and nobody else was around to help, but we decided that the two of us could move it in because she wanted to surprise her husband and have it all set up before he got home from work so that he didn't have to worry about it, and it would be a surprise. So we innocently, we get it loaded in the truck, we drive it to her house, and for the first time, really look at how big it is. I'm pretty short, and my sister is even a few inches shorter. So this towered above us, this king-size mattress. And at that point, we had this vision of her husband coming home as we're crying on the sidewalk, and this mattress is still in the truck because we couldn't even figure out how to get it out. And so sheer determination, we tried a few things, all of which did not work. But then we came upon an idea that worked. We grabbed an old king-size comforter and wrestled it underneath the edge of the mattress and then pulled it up on both sides of the mattress so it created kind of a sling, because this mattress had zero handles of any sort sewn into the sides. A lot of mattresses have that make it easier to grab and hold on to. This had nothing, just slick fabric all the way around. So we wrestled this comforter underneath the mattress, stand it on its end, pull the comforter up on both sides, and wrap it around as like handles and lift it up by creating this sling. So we're pretty proud of ourselves. And we're shuffling it up the hill, into their yard, across the sidewalk, and the biggest hurdle came when we got to their front door. They're looking at their house. There's only three steps, maybe small steps up into the door. So when we had originally looked at it, we thought, no big deal, we'll be able to do this. Well, all of a sudden, when we are carrying a heavy mattress that towers above our heads, so even though we've got this sling configured, the half of the mattress that was above the sling and above our heads kept wobbling back and forth very dangerously. And the weight and the momentum, we just tried to keep it straight, because if it started to go over, one of us was going to have to really sacrifice ourselves to keep it from going over. And we didn't want that to happen, obviously. So all of a sudden, when we get to the house and to the door, those three little steps looked a lot steeper and a lot bigger than they had to begin with. And to make it even worse, we opened the front door, and then the screen door we propped open. Well, the mechanism on the screen door and the hinges did not allow it to open all the way. And I'm not talking all the way so that it was flush against the house. I mean all the way to a 90-degree angle. So we are basically having to maneuver this mattress into a doorway opening that effectively is an acute angle. It's less than a 90 degree. So we have to bring it around the door and then back in. I know that doesn't make any sense. Just suffice it to say, we were setting ourselves up for failure. And so I'm walking backwards. She's pushing. First step, I trip like a dummy and fall. No big deal, no harm, no foul. I jump up. But at that point, we're like, well, let's refigure this. So we're standing there trying to figure out how to do this. And every time, luckily it's a small town, and so there's not a lot of traffic by the house, but every time we'd see a car coming, because we were embarrassed and we're dumb, we would set it down and just act like we were discussing the plan and the no big deal, nothing was going wrong, everything's fine, so that no one would have to witness us shuffling across the yard with this wobbling large mattress. So at this point, we've got it set down again, still holding onto the edges of the sling, and we have to keep going. I'm back up. We're like, okay, we can do this, trying to give a pep talk, because this time the reality is, we really might not be able to make this happen. And even if we get it through the door, the bedroom that it's going into is in the complete back of the house. It could not have to travel farther through this house. So we're starting to kind of panic and face the reality of what we might not be able to do this. But it's out of the truck. We don't just want to lay it down in the grass. What are we going to do if we admit defeat? So we truly are at the point where we decide that we have to just keep trying. Two stupid girls out in the yard who've made a terrible mistake. So we pick it back up and start again to try to shuffle up the steps. And we hear a vehicle coming. And we, at that point, we're too committed. We can't even do our whole charade of, no, nothing to see here. We're just moving mattresses in like we do it all the time. We're fine. We couldn't even afford to stop to pull that prank. So we're trying to shuffle. And sure enough, we hear the vehicle stop. Out jumps a guy. Comes running, literally running up the hill to us. Doesn't say a word. He doesn't know who we are. But without a word, grabs the end of the mattress, picks it up, and within 30 seconds, we have it in the house. He jumped in, saw a need, helped, and the mission was accomplished. And it was over before we even could realize what was happening. And all he said was, after it was in, he said, is there anything else I can do? And we just stammered, no, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. And he said, oh, no problem. And was gone. That was it. It was gone. That is why it is so awesome to live in a small town. Because we didn't worry about who this guy was. He didn't worry about who we were. He saw fellow citizens that needed help. And he just stopped, dropped everything. He literally stopped his vehicle in the middle of the street, jumped out, left the door open and everything. Because that's a normal thing in a small town and you can do that. But we take it for granted how amazing that is. So another cool thing about this story, after it was all over and we were kind of, you know, doing the, as we're putting the sheets on the bed and trying to get everything settled, then we're doing the rundown of like what we should have done differently. And just the bottom line, what kept coming back to is how amazing it was that he showed up when he did and helped the way he did. And just how incredible it was. But then the more we talked about it, we were talking about other things too, like the fact that when he stopped the vehicle, since I was one going backwards, I was able to witness this whole thing happen. He stopped his vehicle and jumped out. There was a child riding his bike. And he stopped because when he saw the vehicle stop, he thought something was wrong. He stopped and watched what was happening. And during the time that this was happening, a couple other vehicles drove by. So there were multiple witnesses to this act of kindness. And random acts of kindness like this, they exist everywhere. And that's wonderful. And they don't get enough attention. But in a small town like this, when people drive by and they see this happening, and not just random acts of kindness happening, they know who the people are involved. And so they're able to more quickly realize that it's an act of kindness and not just some, you know, when you don't know who the people are, you don't really know exactly what's going on. But the likelihood when you witness something in a small town, the likelihood of you realizing what you're witnessing as an incredible act of generosity is so much greater. You notice these things more because you know what's going on in your town. And so that's multiple people that not only witnessed it, but were inspired by it and probably then went on to do acts of kindness in their day. Because when you see things like that, you're just more likely, and it's scientifically proven, you're more likely to act generously yourself when you are surrounded by generosity and kindness. So while random acts of kindness exist everywhere, in a small town, they're amplified. It's kind of like, so there's time, okay, here's an example. So there's times that I want to get up early in the morning, and I'm not good at it at all. I am very much a night owl. I would much rather stay up working till 3 in the morning even than have to get up at 5 in the morning. But Unfortunately, society doesn't work that way, and life doesn't work that way. And when there's work schedules and kids' school schedules that are set around starting at a certain time in the morning, sometimes you don't have a choice but to get up early in the morning. So without fail, what happens is at night in the chaos of bedtime, when we've had the noise of the world in our head all day, at bedtime, I will set my alarm and think through my head the exact same script every time. Well, I've got to get up extra early tomorrow, but I don't want to wake the whole house up. So I need to set the alarm as quietly as I can, but still be able to wake up. So I use my phone as my alarm. I probably shouldn't. You can give me that speech later, but I do. So I have my phone and I'm holding it up to my ear as I'm setting the alarm volume until I hit a volume that I'm like, okay, nobody else will hear that. I will be the only one that will hear that. I just pray and hope that it's loud enough for me to wake up because it's so quiet, but at least I won't wake everybody else up. Set it and go to sleep. Then 5:15 or whatever time I set the alarm for rolls around and it hits that minute and then boom, 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 boom. It sounds like a fire truck driving through the middle of our house. And I scramble up, you know, to turn it off as fast as I can because it's so loud. And I check the volume and sure enough, it's the exact same volume I set it for at night that at night I could barely hear and was afraid I wouldn't wake up to. And so the difference is that in the chaos of bedtime, in the house that's been awake and life is still humming, things seem quieter, harder to notice, harder to hear, harder to pick up on. But when it's still and quiet, the littlest sound sounds like cannons going off. And living in a small town is a lot like that. We've got these acts of kindness, like I said, you know, exist everywhere. But in the chaos of the world, there is so much. We are bombarded with noise and ads and people and hustle and bustle. And don't get me wrong, I love hustle and bustle. I love crowds. I love being in a crowd. I love being part of big things and excitement and all of that. But I also love being able to live in a place that I can retreat from all of that and live in a place where if you want to, you can slow life down. And if you want to, you can create for yourself an atmosphere that you notice things, kind of like how you notice the alarm in the morning so much more clearly than you notice the alarm going off at night. We live in a place where random acts of kindness can stand out to us and make a difference in the same way that an alarm at 5 o'clock in the morning reverberates through the whole house. And that is incredible. That is such a gift we are given. One act of kindness can echo through a town just like an alarm at 5 o'clock in the morning. Let's not take that for granted. Let's not take for granted that the little things we do affect other people and can start a ripple effect that can create massive change. That's all I've got for right now. I'll talk to you guys later. I'm Alex Real, and this is Small Town Tenacity.